Hey, everybody. This is Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with another edition of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. It is April 7th, and on Saturday, Atlanta United tied NYC FC 1-1 at Horrible City Field in Queens, New York, with an assist from Brad Guzan, of all people. And then Guzan made two really good saves at the end of the match to preserve the draw. With that, Atlanta goes to 3-1-2 this season. It's going to host Philadelphia next Sunday. It's going to be the first of four home matches in five games for the Five Stripes. So they have a chance to really move into that top four in the East, really kind of create a cushion if they can get some positive results. The team won without starter striker Yurgos Yakimakis, center back Stian Gregersen, and winger John De Silva last night. Yakimakis was out for what was described as precautionary reasons, but we will see this week. Gregersen, according to the team's timeline, we may start to see him doing individual workouts this week after his knee surgery. And Silva, it was a minor adductor strain, but my experience with covering soccer and adductors, they could end up being a minor strain or it could end up being something much, much worse. We'll see if the team has more information this week. Thierry left the game after scoring in the second half last night. Pineda thought that he'd taken a knock in the back of the hamstring. He just tweeted, Thierry did, that he had an MRI and has back pain. I don't know what the two are, but maybe he got kneed in the back and that caused his leg to hurt, which would not be an uncommon thing. You're going to hear from manager Gonzalo Pineda and Brad Guzan. I'm going to answer your questions about the MLS team. Please follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC and on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. And if this is your first time listening, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
We're back. We're going to start with Pineda. The post game last night for Atlanta United was a little bit challenging, I've heard. It was challenging in the press box, too, I've heard. Apparently, there was some cheering in the press box, which shouldn't happen ever. But anyway, we're going to get into the audio. Here's Gonzalo Pineda talking about the 1-1 tie.
There were chances on both sides, and the first half I felt we had the better chances. Second half it was mostly the goal, and then Derek Etienne's chance with the header in that far post cross from Thiago. But I felt like, as you said, a little bit of a chaotic game, a game difficult to play because of the field conditions. No excuses, it was for both teams, but that right side in the first half was a black hole for us. We couldn't build on that side, and it was impossible to play in that area. And then the dimensions, super small field, and it was difficult to play the way we normally play. But with that saying, I think the team adjust well, adapt well in certain moments. I mean, the goal is a proof of that. With that ball from Brad, understanding that it was a smaller field, maybe we can get in behind earlier from deeper areas. And it was good to see that adaptation. And then for me, the main thing is the fight and the grinding of the team, fighting for every ball, winning second balls, winning some duels, and then, you know, earning 1 point, I think is valuable for me.
Now, I need to also again point out, I was not there at Citi Field last night. I covered the She Believes Cup yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which set a ticket sales record for a friendly for the U.S. Women's National Team. And I covered it from my apartment. So Jason Longshore was there live. So some of these questions are Jason's that you're going to hear the answers from. And here's Pineda. he was asked if this was the best performance from Guzan that he's seen.
Very likely. I mean, I have tons of respect for him. And I think I've seen many, many good performances. But yeah, today was very good. It's his first assist in the history in MLS for him. So happy with that. But I think overall it was a team performance, and everyone was fighting and chasing and pressing. And that's the spirit that I like.
And then my question was about Daniel Rios. He wasn't listed on the injury report. I saw him yesterday at the She Believes Cup, so I was curious why he wasn't there with the team.
Yeah, good question, and maybe I wasn't clear enough. Yes, he trained the day before today, so yesterday he played the minus one, and he didn't train for almost 2 weeks, so we felt that he wasn't available for multiple minutes, and then if we had already in our minds Jamal 60-75, if we needed something earlier, maybe we didn't get the best out of that self, and then, you know, another effects, we prefer to bring the guys that can play 90 on the bench, and that was the decision on that one. But Daniel is healthy and he was training today with the second team, and he will be available for next week, hopefully.
And here's Guzan. Now, this was Guzan's second assist in his professional career, which is a long, long career. His first in Major League Soccer. It was a really pretty goal if you haven't watched the video of it. It was basically two passes. It was Guzan down the right wing, which was the only playable side of the field when in that direction. And then Mosquera caught up to it, put in a nice cross, one-time cross, to Thierry at the back post, who headed it back across the goal, similar to his first goal last week against Chicago. Really nice goal, and then Thierry left. But here's Guzan talking, comparing this assist to the only other one in his professional career, which you can read about if you follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC. I just posted a story that included a description of that.
I think this pass was a little bit more intentional, I would say, than that one. But you know what? They both count, so it's all right.
Do you remember anything about it?
Yeah, we ended up winning. We played them at Villa Park, and we ended up winning. Yeah, and Andreas Weimann went on to toe-poke it past, I think, Joe Hart was playing in goal for them.
And here's Guzan talking about the importance of getting its first point on the road this season in its third road game.
Yeah, it's huge, right? I mean, We talk about if you can't win a game, you don't lose a game. And sometimes it's not pretty, you know. The build-up wasn't great. I could have been better in terms of our build-up. The field wasn't good. I'm sure it didn't look great from TV. I saw some aerial pictures beforehand, but it certainly didn't play great, the one infield part of the field. And so the first half was a bit tricky, and you're trying to be secure with the ball there. But you know, when things aren't going how maybe we would envision or how we would like in different aspects of the game, then you've got to be able to adapt. And I thought we did that well, especially in the second half, you know, leading up to the goal. And then even after the goal, we were continuously getting down our right side, you know, from Brooks with Edwin and these balls, slip balls down the channel. They were causing a problem. And you know, I was talking to Derek in the locker room before I jumped on here, and, you know, we probably should have had a second one that, you know, they make a good play and keep it out. You look at, what was it, when Saba pressed the goalkeeper in the first half, he luckily his hands there and keeps that out. You know, he makes a good save on Thiago down low at the near post. You know, so we had chances. But yeah, to be able to adapt in those games and kind of change, I guess, how we were looking to cause them problems was a positive sign, I think.
And as I mentioned earlier, the team was without three key starters. And I was curious about, does it boost the confidence of everyone else to know, hey, that they can get a result despite missing some key players and getting some contributions from the guys off the bench?
You know, I think when listen, throughout this season, there's going to be guys that, yeah, you know, unfortunately, knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen, but you would probably anticipate an injury here or there, or, you know, rotation or changes. And we believe in everybody. You know, there's There's not one person that's in that locker room that we don't have confidence in and believe in. So when we make changes, whether it be from the get-go in terms of the starting 11 because of injuries or tactical changes, or then make substitutions, you know, we believe that we've got guys that can cause problems for the opposition and help us as a group. And so, you know, that's part of it, right? And you know, hopefully, you know, we're able to get those guys back, because they certainly are key members of our group. But with saying that, like I said, we believe in all the guys that we got in the locker room.
When we come back, I'm going to answer your questions about the team. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean Breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I want to remind you that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a subscription offer at ajc.com/start. It's $1.99 per week for life. As long as you keep your subscription, you can get all of our investigations, our food, our sports, our business, and more. Go to ajc.com/start. That's every day for the rest of your life. This is for new subscribers only. Now we're going to get into the mailbag. Good question from Adam, friend of the podcast, who says, I often hear about players that don't like playing on artificial turf, despite turf making amazing advances and there being no statistical backup for injury concerns. What about playing on a field that clearly has players running over what was a dirt infield a day ago? Aesthetically, it was awful, but do you know if it was physically worse for the guys? In other words, did it feel like a different surface, or did it affect the ball at all? When the match started, I was immediately concerned about potential injuries, but it didn't appear the absurd field caused any issues. I know why MLS allows this, and I know the Citigroup promises a soccer-specific stadium is around the corner, but the league has to know this is the type of situation that makes other leagues think our country is not serious about the sport. At least this wasn't the shoebox they call a field in the Bronx. No, it was an awful playing service, and you heard Pineda. Well, I don't know if you Pineda talked about it. Guzan talked about it. The one half of the field was basically unplayable. That was the infield side. In the first half, Atlanta United was defending mostly that side of the pitch. You could see the ball bouncing around when they were trying to play it around the back. They got to flip and head the other direction, which is why that pass to Mosquera and that cross from Mosquera to Thierry worked. It's why Brooks Lennon had a lot more success in the second half than he did in the first half putting in crosses. It's a silly field, and it's, you know, you want to blame Major League Soccer, but they don't own NYCFC. NYCFC's owners do now have a stadium plan. There are renderings for the stadium, but this is going on however many years. It's just ridiculous. And I feel bad for NYCFC's players. I feel bad for their fans. You could see the players when they were running on the infield grass, the temporary grass. You could see their hesitation. They would take shorter steps. And, you know, you hear growing up playing sports and then following sports, coaches never want players to hesitate. Always be aggressive, because more injuries happen when you hesitate. When you go in and you stop suddenly, or you change your gait or something like that, you can pull a muscle, you can cause a strain. It's a silly situation. On to Nick, friend of the podcast, who says he hopes my trip from Mercedes-Benz to my condo went well. It did. It was about an hour walk. Great walk. Was able to get some dinner because it was a long, long day. I got to the stadium around 9 o'clock, or near the stadium around 9 o'clock, to start trying to find people who were attending the She Believes Cup or a soccer match in Atlanta for the first time, and I was lucky enough to find several. On to Nick's questions. Do you know if Mercedes-Benz Stadium is keeping the grass for Atlanta United? Just kidding. Thank you, Nick. I enjoy that you enjoy making the joke about the grass in Mercedes-Benz. He continues, for as much as the team has talked about improvement on the road, do you think the team achieved its goal against NYCFC? Yeah, I do. I mean, getting a point on the road is a good result. You can win 51 points from your 17 road matches. If you can pick up half of 51, which I don't want to have to do that math, let's say you can pick up 25 to 26 points on the road, that's good. So if you can get a draw out of 17 away matches, that's 17 points. That's still pretty decent. Throw in a win for a loss every now and then. So 1 point is a good start, particularly at that place, which is a tough place to play. He says, if not, what could have been done differently in the lineup setups? I thought the starting lineup was good. I mean, Tyler Wolf got into a lot of good positions last night, starting on the left wing in place of Silva. The execution, his final execution, wasn't great all the time, but again, playing on a field that it's hard to have confidence in what you're doing when you don't know if your foot's going to slip out from under you. But the positive was he kept getting in those positions. Nick continues, for me, a draw while missing three starters isn't too bad, but more road points are needed. Well, they go to Chicago for the next road match. That's a good place to get 3 points. And then the next road match after that will be May 15th at Cincinnati. That's going to be a tough one because they then go to Nashville that Saturday. It's going to be the Wednesday-Saturday setup. Two tough places to go on the road, back-to-back. Thanks for your awesome coverage, says Nick. Well, thank you for being a reader. Want to remind y'all, ajc.com/start is where to go for subscriptions. Michael and JR asked a similar question. What does Pineda need to do to get better and consistent performances from Almada? He is absent for long stretches and otherwise not the same player as last year. I think he is the same player as last year. I think maybe some of the results that he got last year, which were mathematically not sustainable, are evening out this year. If you look at the goals he scored versus his expected goals, it was a pretty big difference in those totals, which means that while the goals he scored were excellent, they were very improbable. And some of that is evening out a little bit this year. It's much like the Toronto game. It's hard to take something away from this match because the field is just so awful and small. It's just a horrible place to have a soccer match. It was probably the best of the three tests they've had. You go to Columbus with a lot of new starters in the lineup. That's a tough one. Toronto, the game shouldn't have been played in those conditions. It was ridiculous. So, you know, it's a long season. Give Almada time. And he might be tired. He didn't really get much of an off season either. David says, I am concerned that this is headed to the 2022 range. Gigi, Jande, and Stien already out. Now Jamal limped off, and Williams clearly was banged up at the end of the match. Although I feel some of our homegrown depth can help us more in the past, Cobb, Wolf, and Fortune, I still don't like this direction. Give me some optimism. Well, Gigi, it was a bone bruise. That's physical injury. Stien may have just been wear and tear. He really didn't get much of an offseason either, coming from Bordeaux to MLS. 27 years old. Jande is just an adductor. Happened on grass at Mercedes at the training center. Three different types of injuries. There's really no consistency to them. Again, Stien, according to the team's timeline, we might see working out individually this week. Gigi, they say, was precautionary. Jamal looked like took a knee to the back of the hamstring. Not much you could do about that. Williams, again, crappy field. It's going to cause it has potential to cause injuries. Let's see what they look like in training on Tuesday. And David says, P.S. I hope I enjoyed covering the U.S. Women's National Team and the She Believes this week. It was different. You know, covering two teams in 1 week is a little bit hard from a working perspective. There were a couple of issues that I'm not going to go into here, both during the week and at the game, but that's neither here nor there. Do want to remind y'all that United States Soccer Federation is going to hold its groundbreaking ceremony for its new National Training Center and headquarters in Forsyth County tomorrow. I will be there providing coverage. Please look for my story Monday afternoon on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC. And then Monday night, I am headed up to X Golf in Alpharetta to join my friend Matt. We're going to do a two-man kind of weekly tournament kind of a thing on a golf simulator up there. And I'm kind of excited about that. Adam says, a tie on the road is usually a good thing in MLS, and while this one may have been ripe for the taking, I'll be content with a draw. Like the Stripes' overall effort, I do think they really struggled to show poise on the ball tonight. Pretty sure I counted 16 unforced giveaways. I realize the Pigeons were pressing, but Atlanta has certainly looked sharper. Yeah, again, small field, but ugly field. Tough to pass the ball on that field. Guzan was a man of the match for Adam. I agree. Two huge saves, no mistakes with everything he handled, and arguably his best moment in distribution ever. Well done, Big Baldy. Here's hoping he's part of the love when TRE's goal gets goal of the week nods. Yeah, I mean, you could see Guzan getting player of the week in MLS, though I think Rui Diaz or Buonga have probably secured that this week. Adam continues, speaking of dealing with the high-pressing moments, it looked like Bartuk and Muyumba were getting crossed up in how to respond tonight. At the least, it appeared Atlanta's backline had fewer outlet options when they had the ball. I didn't really notice that. I mean, NYCFC was pressing. That might have been part of it. Adding a random moment of praise for Brooks Lennon because everyone knows what he wants to do, yet he still gets his crosses in. Bravo, dude. Yeah, it is funny. I joke that Brooks has one move when he gets the ball, kind of in that prime assist zone, but he is able to still get that cross off almost every time. And Brooks played really good defense last night, too, if you didn't notice. He was really, really sharp. DeBoonful, friend of the podcast, says, terrible, sloppy, undisciplined, and a tie on the road on a tiny field, in all caps, woot, woot. This game should have also been like 9-7. P.S. through Guzanissance persist. I love that word, Guzanissance. Well done there, DeBoonful. He asks, when do we get some help back? I think I covered that. And he says, let me give Jamal some credit. Remember in years past when I would complain that guys like Chol and some other Atlanta striker fill-ins seemed to always lack the knowledge of how to press by waiting or favoring their pressure to create coverage on two players and not just the one with the ball. Tonight, I really noticed that Jamal actually knows how to do this properly so that the keeper has to consider or reconsider his first option, which creates the time for the other forward Atlanta players to tighten the trap and create a mistake in the backfield. He's seasoned, so it makes sense he gets this, I guess. Yeah, he's a veteran. He's played a ton of matches in France. I would love to sit down and talk with Jamal if I spoke French because I think he's probably got a really cool story to tell. And he seems like he's just an interesting guy in the few times that we have spoken to him. And, you know, he's worked hard. He's got 3 goals now in 2 games, 3 good goals. We'll see if he starts next week. And Eric with our question of the week. Eric with a K, friend of mine. He says, what is the sports writing equivalent of being unable to win on the road? He says he's not complaining about a draw with NYCFC. That felt like a fair result. The sports writing equivalent of being unable to win on the road. Maybe it's not breaking news or being 1 minute behind somebody else on breaking news or seeing, you know, another writer or reporter or journalist anywhere around the world just write that sentence that you've always wanted to write and you just can't quite make your fingers and your brain do that. Something like that, I would think. Or missing your flight by 1 minute, time after time after time. Good question, Eric, as always. I want to remind you to tell your friends about our show and please give us a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple. It's what helps us grow the podcast. Also glad to say that it appears Daniel didn't kill any whales today. So that is also a good thing. We'll come back next week with a preview of the Philadelphia match and we could talk about the USSF groundbreaking and any other news that we might have. Again, follow me on Twitter at Doug Robinson AJC. On Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. Hug your loved ones. Communicate with your loved ones. Try to be aware of the people around you. Try to understand what they're going through. Thanks for listening to Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze. Tropical beach. Piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.